power of our words. I learned some things about faith that I didn't know before. My wife learned some things. And I'm here to tell you, if I don't have the time because there's some areas I want to cover, but I'm here to tell you that my daughter Amber is absolutely alive to me in Honduras and was dying. Her body was pulling blood in circles this big around. Her fingernails had turned blue. Rigor mortis was setting in. Her eyes were swollen shut. She hadn't eaten for hours on end. How long? 3 days. Okay, this is Amber, Nicole, the one that just went back to L.A. Because we knew who our enemy was, because we knew who we were in Christ, because we knew to stand and boldly declare, we know this is not from God, we know who the enemy is, and we're going to lift our voice, we're going to pray, and God worked away and intervened, and Amber is alive today because of that. Myself, you know my story, I'm not going to get into it. I should not be here. I should be dead. Code blue 3 times. Smashed. I was smashed into a cinder block wall, right leg. Main artery, main vein, as big as your thumbs. Completely shredded in two. I should have bled out within less than a minute. But God and the Word of God. I can go right on down the line. Now, can I say that we've won every battle and that it's worked every time the way we think it should work? How many of you know that we're all in a growing process? And the Bible talks about growing in faith. So don't feel bad if you feel like your faith is weak. That's why we come to church, to strengthen one another and to hear the Word of God so that the faith that we've been given, which is more powerful than you could ever imagine, can be strengthened. It's there. Everything you need to overcome in life is already on the inside of you. My dad today, I'm telling you, I wish I could just throw the documents up on the screen. He had the worst form of malaria in Guatemala that you can get. The bad one. It repeats as it hits every 3 to 4 months and kills you early. Standing in a meeting where the word of faith was being preached, a word was spoken, and the man who was preaching said, "Tom, believe the word of God." He said, "Do what you can't do." This is out in a street meeting, in a dirt street in the high mountains of Guatemala, middle of nowhere. My dad showed up for God knows what reason. He was home shaking and sweating in horrible pain and headaches. Got up, drove our little van out to where the crusade was happening, and I saw him standing. My brother and I were up on stage. I saw him standing over in the shadow. There's Missionary Tom. Nobody knows who he is. Hatless with a big Indian blanket over his shoulders. And Brother Bob Lemon said, "Tom, do what you couldn't do before." Dad said, "I didn't know what else to do." He said, "I just turned." He said, "Well, I can't hardly move, so I guess I'll run." He said, "I looked like a fool as I drugged myself down the street. I'll never forget as long as I live my dad breaking into an all-out run as he burned his way, turned around and ran back up into the middle of that meeting shouting, these are personal experiences that I've seen and experienced. I'm telling you, people, the Word of God works. This stuff isn't popular and it gets attacked. And it disturbs people because it puts some responsibility on us. But isn't it great to know that you can, by the power of God, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak and declare some things and change the direction of your life? You don't have to just accept everything that hits your direction. Now, I'm here to tell you that the Word of Faith movement has been attacked, and they've drawn a lot of those attacks. With every group, there are extremes. And as they grow, people take certain truths and they spin away and they take them in places where they shouldn't go with any group, with any kind of word, with any emphasis. This is why we've got so much division in the church today. Do we need another denomination? Do we need another name? When are we going to remember that the church is not about business plans? It's not about great visions. It's not about, I used to be caught up in all of that stuff. You know what the church is about? It's a family. It's about I was dead and now I am alive and I congregate together with other people who are imperfect and they're growing and I give them grace as I've been given grace and we grow together. I mean, just as simple as that, I believe right here our church was put here for two purposes, basically three, I would put it that way, to love God with everything you got. Love Him back because you're getting a revelation how much He loves you. Number two, to love people as a result of that. And then teach people to receive that great love so they in turn can impact those around them with the love of God. I don't want to get any more complicated than that. I used to do all that stuff. My God, we had simulcast and multi-denominations and I was a part of the ministerial association and running around and playing all the politics with big dreams and big plans. It's just simple. Just love God and love Jesus and let everything else. We're a family. Half the stuff that we're doing today that we're busting up marriages and people are coming to great, huge assemblies while they're falling apart inside is because it's not in the Bible. But I'll tell you what is in the Bible. Standing together as a family and beginning to declare and speak the Word of God in the face of seeming defeat. In the face of those things which are difficult. God's Word says it's important for us to speak the Word of God. Can you say amen? So today, I don't care what you've heard about Brother Hagin. I could care less what you've heard about Rhema. I could care less whether you know whether I graduated from Rhema or not. Because I, like I said last week or the week before, whenever it was, I learned things at Rhema that saved my life. I also learned things at Rhema like any other Bible school that I had to unlearn. My more recent journey in grace has changed my life and helped align what faith was. A lot of things that became law and legal again in the name of faith were realigned. And now faith once again is a beautiful journey because we understand it is by grace through faith that the whole journey started and the whole journey continues. It's not about what I do, but my faith in what He has done for me. How many can shout amen this morning? I think that's a pretty good intro. So what I feel like the Lord, because there's so many people in our area that have backed off. You don't even hear it anymore. How many know that words change things? Worn out, but I'm going to say it anyway. We heard it all our lives growing up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Our words, Proverbs says, snare us. Proverbs also says that good words bless us with good things, and our mouth is filled with His blessing. Okay? If you want things to change in your life, it begins with a word that is preached, spoken, declared. Paul put it this way in Romans 10:17. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith to believe the impossible comes as a result of your continual hearing. There were things I heard 20 years ago that went right over my head. There are still things today that I hear that probably still go over my head. But as I grow, I'm catching more. That's why I love grace. It helped me relax. It helped me rest and realize that faith was not a litmus test for me in reference to the love of God. Faith was a benefit that I could take advantage of or not. It did not change His love for me. It did not change His desire to bless me. It did not change who I was in Him, but it did change, could change what my future would look like. Words. Can everybody say words with me this morning? This is a good word for me, not just you. I'm not standing up here pontificating and pulpiteering and pointing at you. I'm preaching to Mr. Shaw today, and you can benefit with me. A good old-fashioned reminder of the power of our words. I know crazy people. Crazy people, crazier than me. You think I'm crazy? Crazier than me. That spoke the word of God over their eyes. You see me with glasses on? Doesn't change what I believe about God's word. I just haven't decided, I guess, to put any real attention here. I've got other things I'm putting my... Doesn't make God's word any less? You're a little blurry right now, but I can see the color of your shirts. But I know crazy people that took this. One lady who for 2 years every day would get up and thank God for new eyes. She said, if you did it for Caleb and you did it for the others, you can do it for me. And she found every scripture in the Word of God, and she put priority there. Most of us would have given up in 2 weeks. 2 months is out of the question. 2 years is crazy. That's nuts. Except at about the two-year mark, she got out of her bed, as was her custom, began to thank and praise Jesus for new eyes. Thank you for the eyes of Caleb. Thank you for your word that is true. Reached over, turned the light on, and her eyes were worse than they had ever been. And the Lord said to her, take your glasses off. You don't need them anymore. Now that may be encouraging to you. True story. True story. That may be encouraging to you, or that may be daunting. Don't let the devil turn a positive into a negative. I just did that on purpose. I'm not perfect. What I'm telling you, though, is there is something called faith that is our victory. You can turn the switch of faith on by beginning to speak the word of God. Young couples, young singles, old young couples, old young singles. You can change the direction of your life as you begin to open your mouth and speak the word of God. All of us are good at speaking our problems. My God, help me. But I believe that a revelation that came to us in the 70s and 80s got shoved aside. Like, seems like everything comes along in waves, and there's an extreme that happens, and we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to encourage you today in the Word of God. I'm not talking about positive thinking. Positive thinking and positive speaking is the way the world operates. Just be positive. And I think that's a great attribute, and I think it's a good thing. I'm not knocking that at all. But you can be as positive as you want. Everything go down, because our foundation must be the Word of God. And that hasn't changed. And so to our congregation, we're growing and learning. I want to take, for some of you, you may hear this and be a little troubled because you've heard all your walk with God since you were born again, that those people are nuts. And you heard phrases like this, name it, claim it, and frame it. Other one is blab it and grab it. These are mean-spirited attacks on God's design for the believer who walk in victory. God's design. Are you here this morning? I'm not saying that because you say something, it's going to happen overnight. I'm not saying that if you start today beginning to speak the Word of God, how many know there is a fight of faith? It's called that for a reason. But I also have a word from God that says that if we're not weary in well-doing, in due time, we will reap a reward. People, if we don't believe these basics, we may as well go ahead and join the Mormons. You here today? Our very walk with God is built on the great confession. If thou canst believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. That's where it all started. Confess what? The lordship of Jesus in this, that he was raised from the dead. You will have, if you can do this, you will have a supernatural change which causes you to go from death to life. From defeat to victory. And how many are aware of the fact that that doesn't happen overnight? We must grow in grace and grow in faith, grow in love, for these things work by love. And that's why we come together, to encourage each other, to hear the Word of God. I love, and I quote it all the time, 5 John 15, where Jesus said, "You're clean through the Word which I've spoken to you." Let's be cleansed together as we have a reminder. Maybe for some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard this spelled out this way. But the Word of God in your mouth is what changes things. Words change things. I'm going to bump it up a little more. Listen to me. Words create things. You say, "Well, I'm not a creator." Be careful. I know you're not the creator. We're not talking about that kind of a creation. But we have his example, and he told us to follow his example to be able to live in victory. And we can create new circumstances and new directions with our mouth as we fall in line with God's word and his will. Are you here today? You doing okay with this? What you say matters. What comes out of your mouth is a declaration of what's in your heart. Ooh, am I stepping all over my toes? How about yours today? I know better. I know better. I've been in this stuff for 30 years plus, almost 40. You say, "I didn't know you were that old." Thank you. Thank you very much. 55 in May. Going strong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There you go. Strong and well able. Amen. You too. Praise the Lord. All right. So what we say is important. Now, if you were with us last week, Easter Sunday, Resurrection morning, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We looked at Jesus' own resurrection. I looked at some beautiful pictures there. We looked at the resurrection of Lazarus. And we looked at a resurrection that many of you might have really like, "Whoa, where did he go?" But it was a type of tomb, and it definitely was a resurrection in the life of Zacchaeus. He was entombed in deceit. In his shortness, his smallness. There are a lot of things there in terms of the old law that would cause him to believe some things about himself, that he was less than. Typically, those little guys like that, and I'll bet you anything, he had a serious case of small man syndrome. In case you think I'm picking on short people, I've seen way worse cases of big man syndrome than I have small man syndrome. So we'll just level the ground right there, shall we? Aren't you glad the ground is level at the foot of the cross? You ever seen big man syndrome, David? You know what I'm talking about. Right on, brother. Aren't you glad we're free? He makes us like children. Okay? But he had a bad case, probably. And here's the deal. He was entombed in deceit. He reveals that in the fact that he admits that he lied. One visit from Jesus helped him walk out of a tomb. But listen, Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus didn't just walk up like the movies and just start to shake and wave his hand as a light shone. As from the beginning, he opened his mouth so that those around him would hear words spoken in faith, not by the Son of God, which he absolutely was, but the Son of Man, our example. In reference to his own resurrection. Oh, how he challenged the professionals in the law. He said, remember Jonah? Just like him, I'm going in the earth for 3 days. But that won't be the end of the story. His disciples in Matthew saw as he was harassed and made fun of and chided about his word saying, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. Speaking of his own resurrection. And it says the disciples believed. Listen to the order. In fact, maybe we should look there real quick. Turn, if you would, to Matthew. Here, go to John. Go to John. I like this one actually a little better. Go to John 18. Excuse me, John chapter 2. All over the place. John chapter 2, verse 18. Forgive me. I love what is said here. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He spake. There was no need, per se. It was important for God without beginning or end, over and above time. Now standing as a man, getting ready to take our place. Oh, how he loves us. He, God in the flesh, now as the Son of Man, saw it important to open his mouth repeatedly and speak of his own death, burial, and resurrection. He made an impossible claim. He was crazy or not. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, and his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. I want you to notice, I believe everything that's in here is in here for a reason. I want you to notice that it doesn't say, and they believed the word which Jesus said and the scripture. Jesus had taught them a principle. It says, first, they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had taught them. See, Jesus was already setting a course. The words that I speak are not my own, but they're the words that the Father gives me. He quoted scripture prophecies in reference to himself. He spoke an impossibility over and over again. People say, yeah, but he was God. I wished I had time to go into this like I should. But God sent his own Son as a man, and it was not token. This is why in the garden he sweat blood and said, if his humanness uttered in a moment of weakness, if it's possible, let this cup, listen people, this is Bible, let this cup pass that fast. He said, nevertheless. In another place, he said, nobody takes my life. I lay down my own life, and I have the authority, he said, to raise it up again. But you can bet that as a man, he was speaking things that he knew from Scripture were true. He was standing in anointing that he knew from his bones as the Son of God, because he recognized what was happening in his life. But listen, he had a fight of faith just like us. Otherwise, it would have been token. That's why Hebrews says we have a high priest that qualifies, because he was tempted in all points like as we, and overcame without sin. Can you lay your Bibles down just for a moment with me? Let's lift our hands all over the place. Come on, Jesus, how we love you. How we thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for your precious blood that was spilled, for your body that was broken, for my complete wholeness. How we worship you and love you today. How we worship and love you today. Do you love him today? And he gave us the way to walk in victory. We see it in the Word of God. Zacchaeus, a little different flair, probably never heard that on an Easter morning. But Zacchaeus had a personal encounter with Jesus. Hey, little man, you're not so little in my eyes. I'm going to your house. I'm calling you by name. There's another name. There's somebody that you are that you haven't seen yet. I'm coming to your house today. We don't know what happened in that conversation as they sat at a table, more than likely, as was the custom, and broke bread. But what we know is that when Zacchaeus walked out of his tomb, he was automatically saying some things. I'm going to make wrong right. I'm changing the direction of my life. I am loudly proclaiming I've had an encounter that has changed my heart belief, and some things are coming out of my mouth that are completely different, and I don't care who hears it. He went from a little guy. I love Brother John Osteen. 5'7", Joel Osteen's daddy, 5'7". But he would say, I may be 5'7". He'd say, that mighty man of God, he'd preach. Oh my gosh. Impacted my life more than any other preacher I know. Brother John, what a dear, precious man. Jackie and I got to know him personally. And in a church that was exploding, one of the largest so-called mega churches of that time, it never affected him. He was gentle, tender, sweet, compassionate. It never got to his head. He truly was a man of God who followed Jesus. How I appreciate it, Miss Brother John Osteen. But he said, you know what, I may be 5'7" in stature here in this life, but he said, in the spirit, I'm 9 feet tall. He had a picture of who he was. A little feller that wasn't so little. The Israelites being challenged to take the promise that God had given them in reference to Canaan made this confession with their mouth. We are as grasshoppers in their eyes. How'd they know that? They didn't know that. But they talked themselves out of victory. And they were making a declaration. We're little and unable. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, who opened their crazy mouths and said, we are more than able to take what God has promised. Words are important. Words change things. Words create things. It was so from the beginning. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I love the centurion. Here he is. You can find this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. But here he is, the centurion. I'm switching gears. Just stick with me. While you're going where you're going, I'm going to just tell you something. The centurion, who was a heathen Gentile, he was a soldier in the Roman army, a virtual enemy. Are you with me? He heard Jesus speak. And in Matthew 8, we see him say, "I'm not worthy." He, just like the Syrophoenician woman who understood she was not worthy, but she said, "Lord, even the puppies who gather around the table get to eat the crumbs." And Jesus turned and said, "It's done." That's great faith. Both instances of great faith were not Jews, but they were Gentiles who were lawless, who simply believed that what Jesus was saying was true. Both of them. And here we have a centurion in Matthew chapter 8 who says, "I'm not worthy." He was speaking of his Gentile, barbarian status. "I'm not worthy that you should. I've seen who you are, and you're the real deal, and I believe you are their Messiah, and I'm buying into this deal, but I, as a Gentile, know. Somehow I know. I'm not worthy that you should walk under my roof, but this one thing I know from listening to you this long. You say the..." Say only the word, and it shall be done. Wow. And Jesus said, wow. I'm very glad for the word of God today. Oh, man. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You guys doing okay with this? I love this subject because I believe that if young couples get a hold of this and begin speaking good things over their spouses, good things over your marriage, good things over your children, good things over your future, good things over your enemies, good things over those that you have every right to get angry, to get bitter, to resent, and walk in unforgiveness. God help us all. Are you here today? The church is full of it. Good things. Open your mouth. Even when you don't feel like it, speak good things. Let me tell you something. There's power in your words. There's power in you taking the word of God, believing it, and let it tumble off your lips with authority. With authority. So, look at Hebrews chapter 12. I got to get there with you. I keep preaching and don't get there myself. Hebrews. Hebrews 1. "God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Scientists to this day, and most of you have been here a while, you've heard this before, but to this day, they do not understand, but they say that all matter, from rocks to metal to glass to you, the smallest, whatever you want to call them, molecules, I don't know what they're called, I'm not a scientist, the smallest matter that can be defined under the best telescopes is brushed with sound waves that revive it and make it move. Even rocks live with a brush of sound waves. They don't know where they come from. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know where they come from and where they're going. But every living thing, scientists will tell you this, responds to sound waves from nowhere, seemingly going nowhere. I'll tell you what, in the beginning, God spoke and said, "Let there be." And it's never changed. And here is what your Bible says. "This hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also," by whom? By who? By the Son. He, by the Son. God, by the Son. In other words, by and through, not without. Colossians 1 says, By him, speaking of Jesus, by him and for him were all things created, and everything that was created is held together by him. Colossians 1. It says here, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express, that means the exact. That's why Jesus could say in John 14, 9, the shocking words, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's either truth or that's crazy. There is no middle ground. How many are glad today for the life of Jesus on the inside of you? Oh, man. When you couldn't hardly take another step, when you'd done everything wrong, his mercy and his grace was still there. He didn't give up on you. Thank you, Lord. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and I want you to notice the next little phrase, and upholding. Everything's being sustained, lifted, held together, everything functioning by one thing. By the word. Notice it doesn't say by the power of his word. And that's where we get in trouble with this faith and words thing. We think that by our much talking, we're going to make something happen. But no, it's by the word of his power. When you get the word of God, his power and the knowledge of it, this is why Romans 12, 2 says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds to the great faith that has been deposited in us by the hearing of the gospel. We doing all right this morning? That's powerful stuff. And it says that everything, listen people, if you and I call ourselves Christians, that means we are the Christ like ones. And this Christ that we have now identified with by our profession of faith stood at the beginning of time and opened his mouth and said, let there be. And there was. Where are you getting that from, Lee? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word with a big W. And the Word with a big W was with God. And the Word with a big W was God. And everything that was created, the world and everything we know, was put, I mean, from nothing to something by the Word of His power, not the power of His Word. I'm very glad today for the Word. Are you getting that? The Word of His power. That changes everything. Do you realize, young person, if you can get a hold of some of these things, you can begin to change the direction of your health? I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge as well, won't help you change some things in reference to your lifestyle. And your, that's part of it. But let's don't ever think that by our doing stuff, that's where our health comes from. Our health comes from the Word of God, the Word of His power. How are we doing this morning, people? I hope this stirs. I pray that it stirs something in you. But what about prophecy, Pastor Lee? What about the prophetic movement? It's the same thing repackaged. Most of, how about it, Darlene? Most of the prophetic is just this. It's different terminology. But what they're saying is, I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to speak a word from God out of a heart of belief, and it's going to make a difference. It's just a repackaging of what we knew years ago as confession, a declaration of God's word and putting into play the word of His. Hallelujah. I'm glad for Jesus today. Isn't this awesome? The Word of God. He's never changed. This is the same one. We covered this months ago. Now, this same Jesus is standing in planet Earth as the Son of Man. And He tells His disciples, who aren't even born again, hairy-legged, Peter was a little foul-mouthed. Kind of like once a fisherman, always a fisherman. Thank God that doesn't have to be, right? In that regard. He told those boys, without any qualifications, if you'll open your mouth and believe what you say. Don't look at me like that. Oh God, here it comes. So you can just, anything you say, you can name it, claim it, and grab it. Name it, claim it, and frame it. Blab it and grab it. Stop. Don't attack me. Don't attack the messenger. Jesus said to you, even when you were dead in trespasses and sin, He said, if you can believe in your heart and speak some things, I'll honor it. That impossibility that looms heavy and cast a shadow over your life will be cast down into the sea. We heard it from Rich and Chamonix's song. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Don't take big faith. An atom is a little teeny thing, but boy, does it have some power when properly manipulated. How many love Jesus today? Okay, let's continue on. Mark chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, write it down. Jesus talks about, and He's drawing a picture of Himself, but it also is a picture of those who would follow His command. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Paul is rejoicing in this. Speaking, I know, of his own ministry and others, where in Romans 10 he says, how beautiful on the mountain are those who preach good news. Pretty awesome. Now Jesus is standing and He's saying, the same one who stood and spoke and the worlds were formed is telling hairy-legged fishermen and others, open your mouth and begin talking to your mouth. Now, I know that's almost old teaching for some of you by now because we heard this over and over again a few weeks back, but I want to pull it back and help you see it's important on a day-to-day basis. Words. Can everybody say with me today, words? The power of the spoken word. How powerful it is. Now, before we go, turn with me to Ephesians. Chapter 6, and this will be won't really be a parting shot because I'm going to dwell here for about 10 minutes or so. Then we can pick up on it. Ephesians 6:17 is part of a picture that the Apostle Paul is drawing by the Spirit of God about how the believer should do warfare. And he is naming, after he tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against demonic forces and unseen forces. This is our, don't get your eyes on people. Keep your eyes where they're blind. Know that your battle is in the spirit, not after the flesh. And then he begins to name the different pieces of armor. And I want you to notice something. Every one of these pieces of armor have to do with the mind. Joyce Myers is so right on. The battlefield is right here. This is why the renewing, your Bible says that the renewing of your mind in reference to truth is what causes supernatural power to flow in your life. That's Bible. May not be popular in churches right now because it puts some responsibility on me. I can't sit back and say, well, whatever happens, it must be God's will. It, you know, I prayed once and it went the other way. That's not how that works at all. We're given power. Now, I'm not going to go through, we may next week. For time's sake, I want to bring this one point home. Ephesians 6:17 declares that God has given you among these weapons something called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Everybody say Word. Come on. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. This Word, if you like to study and cross-reference and look up the Strong's and see the original meaning, this word in the Greek, okay, for sword is M-A-C-H-A-I-R-A. This word and Paul's specific use of this term, he could have used several different terms for sword, but he used this one specifically, exacted fear in the minds of those who heard it. This was like right now, although I believe it's an unfounded, silly fear, but you mentioned AR-15. People, because of a lack of understanding, believe it's this massive, super powerful, catastrophic weapon. They don't realize it's a .22 caliber. It's no different than the .22 I got at home. I just got myself in huge political trouble. You'll have to forgive me and love me anyway. But, irregardless of where you are on that, we can argue about that at another time in love. This, like that, or like a bomb, an atomic bomb, this word right here, Makeda, struck fear in the hearts of the, because they knew what it meant in the hands of a skilled soldier. There were different kinds of swords. They had one that was huge. It was not intended for actual use in battle. It actually was oversized. How many enjoying the Diamondbacks? Go D-backs. Okay, you see that guy step up to the batter circle, and what does he do? He puts a few weights on the bat, and he sits there and warms up. That thing, he feels the weight of that thing. When you pull that off, that which felt normal or maybe a tad heavy now feels light. Similar kind of an idea. They had a huge sword that they would use for training, and it would build their muscle and movement as they wielded this heavy sword. It was not intended for battle. There was another long, kind of a narrow sword, more like the swords that we know that they used in the Roman army, that was not necessarily, I mean, it would kill, but it was more for wounding. It was used in battle to literally beat and take chunks and maim. I mean, this is gruesome old-style war, but a long sword, you can... This guy knows what I'm talking about. This is what they used. But this one that Paul uses, M-A-C-H-A-I-R-A in the Greek, is a gruesome dagger. It was meant to disembowel. It was for close. This is gruesome stuff. I don't need to be too detailed in here on a Sunday morning, the mixer, but it was gruesome. And yet your Bible, by the Spirit of God, through Paul, chose to use this word for the sword of the Spirit. This wasn't just any weapon. This was a close combat. Your battle isn't out there somewhere. Your battle's close. The enemy comes in with another word. He sows a thought. He massages it in. We dwell. We begin to speak that word. And after a while, we're in trouble because we believed a lie, but it became part of our belief system. But God gave us another word. This word goes in close combat. And it renders bloody death. Please forgive the visuals, but this is literally what it did. It rendered bloody death to the work of an enemy. It destroyed them. This is reminiscent of Isaiah 54, which says, every weapon that is formed against me will not prosper, but it will melt away in defeat to this new word. A dagger that goes right to the heart of the matter, close combat, and stops the work of the enemy. The Bible this morning says that one of your weapons is the Word of God. A M-A-C-H-A-I-R-A dagger that has a little hook on the end of it. How many are glad today for the Word of God? How many are glad today for the Word of God? The weapon referred to in Ephesians 6:16 was neither of these other swords, but an exceptionally brutal weapon. This sword is used, as I said, in close contact. Let me jump on down. All these characteristics that I just described made it a deadly and frightful weapon. This two-edged dagger-type sword inflicted a wound far worse than any other sword available to the Roman soldier. By using the word Makeda in Ephesians 6:17, my pronunciation may not be perfect there, Paul is saying that God has given the church of Jesus Christ a weapon that is frightful to the devil and his forces. Why is this weapon so horrific to the kingdom of darkness? Because it is razor-sharp power to slash our demonic foes and defeat them, render what they do dead. Stop it. Notice that this verse calls the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So how many got the sword word down? Now the next word that is used is very interesting. Because where it says about this sword, it says it is the Word of God. The word here is the word rhema. R-H-E-M-A. Rhema. Which describes something. Listen, people, before you go today, get ready for victory. Get ready for a life course change. This is not a static word on a page or a word somewhere else. This is a spoken word. A spoken word. Rhema. So the sword of the Spirit is not a sword of the Spirit until it comes out of your mouth. Do you know how many people have read their Bibles through multiple times and they're still dead? I know some people that are Jehovah's Witnesses, and my heart breaks for them because I think they're sincere. They're reaching for what they believe is truth. And then people put us to shame with their memorization of Scripture. The only problem is that their Jesus is not our Jesus. It's a cult. Pray for them that their eyes would be open, that they would see how God loves them. But they're completely off course. But boy, they know the Word better than the average one of us do. All these people that make excuses, well, I'm just not a reader. I can't memorize Scripture. Men of every type and color and age, youth, young, old, whatever, they get in there and those people drive it home and every one of those people can quote the Word. But until you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, until the Spirit of God is involved, there's no real spoken word. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. In other words, you read Scripture and you read great and exceeding precious promises, and when they are buried in the heart and spoken out of your mouth, we see what Paul, by the Spirit of God, is describing as a sword which renders a bloody death to our demonic foes. Rhema. Can you say it today? Rhema. A rhema word. We've heard that abused. I mean, just till it doesn't mean anything anymore. But today I want you to go home knowing that God, that you get the Word of God on the inside of you. How many have just fed on the Word and fed on the Word? And when you were in the middle of duress and struggle and under a fight, suddenly you woke up in the middle of the night and a word that you had deposited in your heart comes alive and it's raised up and you hear yourself saying, you hear yourself by the Spirit of God speaking a word that is declared your victory in the face of your defeat and seeming demise and everything backwards. A word, a standard is raised up against the flood of the enemy as you open your mouth and speak the word of God. Say, my words. Come on, everybody. My words are so important. We're not talking about positive thinking or positive. We're talking about speaking the word, speaking the answer. It's the word of his power, not the power of your words. Isn't that awesome? In little areas, it behooves us to not say, well, what do you expect for a guy that's 65? Getting old sucks. I hear it all the time. You just spoke. You gave ground. Stand up. Square your shoulders. No, you're not going to live forever. Your hair is probably going to turn gray. We're only going to live at a max about 120, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on where our faith is. God promised us 70 at least in his own word. Stand up and declare the word of God. You can't help age, but you can help death and disease and defeat and every other thing. Stand and declare the word of God. You say, man, brother, how can you say that? You don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. You don't know what I've been through, but it doesn't change God's word. It doesn't mean that right now, I'll tell you what, I love what Job said. Job says, even if it doesn't work and you kill me, God, I'm going to serve you. You almost got to have that kind of attitude. If I never see it happen in this life, I know in that life I'm going to have it anyway, but I'm going to start right now. I'm going to just try this and see what happens. I'm very glad for the Word of God. Quit worrying about, well, I tried it for a few months and didn't work. I had to go get surgery. Well, so? Doesn't change this. Trust God. I've had surgery too. I tell you the miracle about my leg, but I'm so glad they put my leg back together and put 300 stitches on the inside and sewed up the outside. And I went through therapy. I was supposed to be in therapy 2 years. I was checked out at 8.5 months. They said I'd never be on a horse again. I started right off the bat 12 hours a day. No, I can't stand here and tell you that God just walked into my room and everything was perfect in one day and supernatural. It was like, one of the miracles in the gospel. No, there was a process. God met me where I was at. But this is the leg they said I wouldn't have. I'm very glad for Jesus. There may be some things I never get a hold of. Watch that mentality. But I say that for this purpose. Quit worrying about what you can't and start doing what you can, based on I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I'm glad for Jesus today. I said 10 minutes and I got to stop. We'll pick up right there next week. Yeah, get a hold of your attention today. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right there where you're sitting, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right there where you're sitting. Father, we thank you today. For the word of your power. Let that revelation supersede the lies of defeat, the lies of compromise, the lies of caving and giving in. I hear the words, greater is He. Somebody in here needs to let that come out of your mouth right now. Greater is He that is in me. Come on, I think somebody in here needs to say it. You need to open up your mouth. You can't just sit there in a fetal position, curled up in a ball in the corner, just hanging on waiting for something to happen. Open your mouth. I mean, out of the darkness, let light flash with power as you open your mouth and say the impossible. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. John, by the Spirit of God, said that over every. I mean, I don't care if you're 2 minutes old in the Lord or 20 years or 50 years in the Lord. It's still a truth that stands if we can dare to believe it. And it's so important to open your mouth. Say with me one more time, greater is He. Father, for your people today, I thank you for the word of your power that drives out doubt. The word of your power that drives out disease. Billy Bob, how's that eye doing? Praise the Lord. Better and better. And better. Hallelujah, Lord. The word of His power drives out fear of the future. Drives out lack. Some of you have been slapped around long enough about, I mean, every week you got just enough to make it to the next week. You can call this prosperity gospel or any mean thing you want to say, but I've found out that He is my provider, not man, number one. And number two, you need to open up your mouth and you need to do some talking to your bank account. You need to do some talking to that lack. You need to say, I'm tired of just enough. My Bible says a cup that overflows. And I've watched as young couples got a hold of this and begin to do that. God supernaturally opened up doors to jobs they would have never dreamed. And God is bringing them into blessing. Then the next thing is pray that they don't forget how they got blessed and get weird with the blessing. Say, I'm blessed to be blessed. Lord, I thank you for your people today. I thank you for what you've spoken to their hearts. I thank you that you help us by your grace to monitor. Next week we'll talk about it. Scripture literally says that you are the bishop of your own heart. In other words, you oversee and you say what goes on there. Father, I thank you that our people monitor, take authority over the position of their heart as we set our words aright, not for words' sakes, but because of the word of your power. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you receive something today? I know I did. We're going to continue in this vein, and you're already seeing good things, but you watch as you begin to speak the word of God. It won't come without challenges, but the word of God works. Can you say amen? Let's stand and be dismissed in the presence of God. Altars are open as we dismiss, as the worshipers continue to worship here today. If you have a need, you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd love to lead you personally in